just utter craziness, right? I mean, the altar guild are sitting there in the pews today wondering, what in the world has happened to Pastor? He went to East Indianapolis for a couple of days to buy a house because he's moving, and we want to throw rotten fruit at him for that, but now he shows up and he's only half-dressed for church. All he's got is that top utter part, and he looks like maybe a stewardess from the 70s, but we're not that kind of Lutheran church. He looks a little weird on the bottom with his legs sticking out of that robe. My goodness, maybe it's a good thing that he's leaving for another church. What craziness! Ridiculous! I don't get it! It doesn't make sense! But folks, it's all about the robe. It's all about the robe given to you by the master of the banquet. It's all about how you are robed in the midst of your blood-red sins and transgressions. It's all about how so simply you are forgiven. And that's it. Could be the shortest sermon ever today. But let's look at the text just a little bit, especially our first reading from Revelation chapter 7. This is John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The one in so many of the pictures of the Lord's Supper is normally drawn or figured as kind of leaning his head against Jesus on his shoulder or there on his chest. This is the same John to whom Jesus paid special attention as he himself was nailed there to the cross, bleeding his blood red for you and for me. Jesus, who cried out to his mother, "Mother, behold your son," and to this John, "John, behold your mother." Jesus, who is concerned about relationships, about people being provided for, about there being a future, about there being a hope. It's that John, the youngest of all the apostles. Most scholars think that he might have been 16 at the youngest, 17, most likely 18 or 19 when he was called to be an apostle, much younger than the normal 30 years of age when men were allowed to speak, to be men, to be looked at as authority figures. Perhaps it's this John as well who ran away naked at the time of Jesus' arrest, narrowly escaping perhaps his own arrest, and at the same time perhaps even betraying the Lord he loved, as each of the apostles did in their own way, just as each of you and I betray him. Every time we break a commandment, every time we doubt, every time we fear, every time we rip off our simple robes that we've been given in holy baptism, every time that we get them dirty with bad words and thoughts, every day that we live in this life, which has its ups and downs, we know quite well. To this John is given this wonderful vision, and it's more than a vision because it's not just make-believe. It's not he had, you know, a burger with lots of onions and pickles and he took a short nap and he... That didn't happen to you? Oh, okay. This is real. John is transported here to heaven itself in a sacramental way, a very real yet mysterious God way. And he writes in chapter 7, "After this I looked, and behold, now there's a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb." Now John has seen a little bit of this before, so this in and of itself isn't quite as shocking and surprising as seeing your pastor dressed with just a simple robe and stoles. Because back in Revelation chapter 4 or 5, that's when John is first taken by this angel, this messenger sent from heaven. It's when he's first allowed to get a glimpse at the throne room, at heaven itself, but that first glimpse is just a little glimpse. It doesn't include all this detail. What's missing here 2 to 3 chapters later in Revelation chapter 7? Good question. Thanks for asking. It has everything to do with why we gather and celebrate now All Saints Day this Sunday. All Saints Day, which on the calendar is always November 1st, the day before Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the day before a holy day, which culture took over and wrested from the church, and perhaps which we need to get back in some ways, but let's save that for another day. It was the day before the holy day, the hallowed day, All Saints Day, the day before that Luther nailed his 95 theses there to the church door at Wittenberg. And the reason he did that was because he was concerned about what people were thinking and what the church was doing. And as he himself studied Scripture, he began to see that much of what he had been taught and raised in was really not from God at all. And the practices and customs didn't serve a good purpose of pointing one to Christ. For the same reason, the Lutheran Church, we retain the use of vestments, but it's not a law. I could take this off today and just stand here in my collar. I could even go put a polo and a tie on and stand before you and do the divine service, and that in and of itself would not be sinful. And I know you and I know me. None of us would probably like that. And it would seem like pastor's a little naked or half naked, or that's just awkward. Let's not talk about it, pastor. Or more than that, let's not change things the way they've been because we just like things to be the way they are. But yet change comes, doesn't it? It comes for you and it comes for me. It could be a move. Could be a pastor accepting a call elsewhere. Could be a death. Could be the doctor dialing you up after you've had your test results and telling you something that you really weren't prepared to hear. Could be like my father this last week. He didn't want to bug me because he knew how crazy it was in our house. And I come to find out, and oh, by the way, my dear wife, I forgot to tell you this, sorry, please forgive me. He's had a history of kidney stones. They're so bad they put him in the hospital. And he had to go in for a day or two. Don't throw things at me, I'm sorry, I just forgot to tell you. But you know what that's like, right? Stuff catches you totally off guard. So, where's your happy place? I don't know what you want to call it. Where's your peace? Where's your center? Well, this All Saints Day, as we not only deal with all the stuff we have in our life, as we think of those this day that we dearly miss, that are gone from this life, our loved ones, our family members, sometimes just literally snatched out of our life by death, we give thanks this day because for us as Christians, death is not an eternal thing. Death is a see you later, hopefully soon. Death is yet a promise revealed of life and of resurrection. How do we know all this? How do we believe all this? Because we look to this lamb, this sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, the once for all sacrifice, as we'll continue to learn about in our study of Hebrews during our adult Bible class on Sunday morning. We just finished Leviticus, and if you missed out on that, come join us for Hebrews, because we're going to learn more about this great high priest, this lamb who has now shed his blood for us, and what that means, not only in our standing before God, which means we're justified, we're made righteous, but it means that we have continued provision, and it means that we're not alone, which is part of what this All Saints Day is all about. Because what John sees in Revelation 7 here, that he didn't see in Revelation 4 and 5, is the great multitude. Matter of fact, it was too numerous to count. If you're a bean counter, you're one of those people. If you're like King David, who wanted to count his troops just to find out how the battle was going to go, and God said, hey man, just back up, slow your roll. Trust that I'm going to provide. Trust that I'm going to give you what you need to get you through this. And John sees this in a most amazing way. And that's probably why the elder, one of the 24 here who is talking to him, says, hey, do you know who these people are? And John's like, I haven't got a clue. I mean, my goodness. This is all a little too much for me to take in. And John just simply says, hey man, you know. I'm going to trust what you know. Which is a real statement of faith. Because that's the way you and I, as repented sinners, deal with the Most High God. Lord, you know. You know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you know what, Lord? You even have a plan in place for that. And I'm a little skittish right now. I'm like a deer in the headlights of a truck rolling down the gravel road in the midst of harvest season. Things are a little crazy. But you know, Lord. Because not only do you have my back, you've sent your son, the Lamb, to give me a robe that I desperately need. You know, some of you get it, some of you may not, but why do most pastors wear a uniform that's black? It's simply to represent sin and death and darkness. Sin, death, and the devil, the unholy trinity, the devil, the world, our sinful nature. And why do we normally wear white vestments with stoles that are yokes? To represent now the righteousness of Christ that is given to all of us. To cover up the man, because I'm just a sinful person like you who's called to be the Vivavox Christi to you, to speak to you his words, to be Christ to you, giving to you these gifts, baptism, giving to you as well, feeding you simple bread and wine that is his body and blood. It's so amazing. The traditions of the church are not laws. All these things serve to point to the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne. And I want to prepare you just a little bit, because in a few weeks from now, I will no longer be with you. And you're going to have some different pastors come through here for a little while. And ultimately, the Lord is going to provide you with a new pastor. And he might have a few different things that he emphasizes that's different from what I've done. But I want you to know and trust this. The word remains the same. And all the things that we have, whether they're banners hanging on our walls or beautiful artwork, all this points to Christ, points to the Lamb who's in the midst of you. The Lamb, your Savior, who has rescued you with his own blood, forgives you for your doubts and sinful worries and fears. The Lamb who's prepared a glorious future for you. And so this day, it's all Te Deum, folks. It's all Te Deum. It's all to God. To God be praise. It's what we sing, it's what we hear, because he has rescued us and he will yet provide a glorious future. John, this young man, was privileged to see this, and what a blessing. Because of all the apostles, he lived the longest. Lived a very long life. And I'm sure as he watched the rest of his apostles, disciples, friends, and family die off, as he got old, as he saw change in his life, I would imagine he kept coming back to this vision, this amazing sacramental mystery that he was given of knowing the future that awaited, a reunion in heaven. This day we remember those who have died here this last year at Peace Lutheran Church, 11 of them, the most in the, well, almost 11 years I've been here. 11 saints taken before the throne who are clothed with robes. I don't know if they're short or if they're long. I don't know if they have a black one underneath. But I know this. They're one of God's children. And they're forgiven. And they have life. And there's a resurrection and a reunion. So let us look forward to that. Let us Te Deum loudly and longly this day. For the Lamb is in the midst for you. In the name of Jesus.